para que todos entiendan.
A new America is coming forth.
J&M Jewelry provides online jewelry appraisals that are convenient, secure, and affordable. Appraisals are usually completed within 48 hours and sent directly to your email. Contact us today or visit our website to use our appraisal request form. J&MJewelry.com.
Here we grow again. Brighteon is expanding with our new daily live stream in Espanol. Anchored by hosts like Yor Hernandez, a former Telemundo and Fox reporter, Brighteon TV in Espanol is bringing over a dozen new hosts and shows to the Spanish speakers of the world who are seeking out the truth on everything. To watch, go to Brighteon.com, click on the Espanol live stream, and prepare to hear the truth in a whole new language. Brighteon TV in Espanol.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman back live on the Sheriff Mac Show simulcast with Liberty Roundtable Live TV and radio at its best. Hey, if you want to get on our texting list, ladies and gentlemen, all you need to do is text the letter CSPOA. That's text the letters CSPOA to 53445. That's 53445. And you can get on our texting list to keep up to date on what we're doing. Sheriff Mack, welcome back, sir.
Thanks so much, Sam. It's great to be with you this beautiful Tuesday morning.
Yes, indeed. And yesterday we need to highlight, celebrated your 25-year win over Bill Clinton regarding the Brady Bill, standing for the Second Amendment, the greatest 10th Amendment decision ever rendered. And you got a quote from that very decision, right?
Yes, our quote from the Mack Prince case. And yesterday, yes, a big day in my life. 25 years ago yesterday, the ruling, the most powerful ruling ever, the only time sheriff sued the federal government and won at the U.S. Supreme Court. And I have it here in my hands. And it starts with, finally and most conclusively in the present litigation, Mack Prince case, we turn to the prior jurisprudence of this court. And they're talking about how the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, promulgated some rules that the states had to follow and enforce. And the states sued on that. Okay. And then at the bottom of this, after talking about the history of this case against the EPA, this is what happened. They declined even to defend them, their rules and regulations for the states, and instead rescinded some and conceded the invalidity of those that remained. How is it then that the EPA became so much more powerful since then? Because the states failed to enforce all of this. And that's what we don't want to have happen again. We want every citizen, every activist, every patriot in this country to have this decision so that we don't do this and that we train our sheriffs to follow the Constitution and this amazing, miraculous Supreme Court decision. Thank you, Sam.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It is a critical win. And, you know, sadly in America, ladies and gentlemen, I blame a lot of this on the mainstream press and really blacklisted news is what you would call this, in my opinion, Supreme Court decision. For some reason, it's been buried. Not only are the media rejecting it and not willing to focus on it, but on the other end, they mock us and manipulate the truth regarding who we are and tell blatant lies and everything else. I find that interesting because you would think that lawyers – You would think that politicians, you would think that people would be using this case more. I mean, if you want a quintessential authority saying, look, the federal government, the general government does not control the states or the counties or et cetera. I mean, this case, there's no other that better articulates this. How come it's not used more, Sheriff? Before we kind of move on to our guest, I kind of want to really know, why do you think it's just so maligned and so unused? Because, man, if you want a quintessential solution to nullify now, to back off the general government, to say their overreach is too out of control, this is the decision, sir.
Yes, it is. And the Clinton administration actually did a terrific job of marginalizing this victory. They actually, Clinton ordered Janet Reno to send out a memo to every sheriff and police department in the entire country and told them that the decision was meaningless and that it was a token victory for the NRA and that all sheriffs and chiefs should continue to enforce this. Although there were very few chiefs of police doing it in the first place because they gave this the Brady Bill instructions to the CLIOs. And in fact, it even says that right in the decision. CLIOs, the chief law enforcement officers of the United States. And that specifically went to the sheriffs because they are indeed the CLIOs. And I love it when the federal government actually declares the sheriffs to be the CLIOs. So yeah, it's because the media and the government marginalized the case and hid the case. And for sheriffs to actually find it now, they would really have to do a little digging. But that's where we come in. We help them.
Well, that's the good news. Sheriff Smaling, are you with us, sir?
I am.
Welcome.
Can you hear me?
To the Sheriff Mac Show, my friend. Yes, indeed. Richard, you got Sheriff Smaling.
Sheriff Smaling, nice to meet you sort of in person today. There you are.
Yes, absolutely.
So, listen.
Thank you, Sheriff, for having me on. I apologize.
Oh, no. No problem, Sheriff. We understand. But, yeah, we've been trying this for a few months. First of all, we're grateful for what you have done. And I think we need to give people a background of who you are, your career in law enforcement, how long you've been there, so on and so forth, how long you've been sheriff. And then we want to get into this amazing investigation that you've done. And you pretty much, the way I see it, you can explain how you came to the point of investigating voter fraud, specifically at nursing homes. How did that all happen? I know I threw a bunch out you, but first,
all right, let's back up for a second, Sheriff. So he's from Racine County, Wisconsin first, right, Sheriff?
Yeah, go ahead,
That's
Sheriff.
That's correct. Christopher Schmaling, I'm the sheriff in Racine County. I think there's a little bit of delay on my computer here. I apologize. I'm at a hotel right now at the National Sheriff's Conference. Am I coming through okay?
You're coming through great, sir.
Great.
So you're from Wisconsin. It's Racine County. And give us a little bit of background on you. Were you a police officer for a long time?
Remind everybody how Racine became so famous. And that was in, of course, A League of Their Own, where it was filmed. And one of the teams was Racine, Wisconsin, in that great, great movie, A League of Their Own. You probably already know that, right, Sheriff?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good. All right, please go ahead with your background. Thank you.
Absolutely. So I've been with the Racine County Sheriff's Office for nearly 28 years. Prior to that, I was a correctional officer out of college in Waukegan, Illinois, for the Lake County Sheriff. And I wanted to get out on the street to see corrections as corrections. I applied into this. Kenosha is my hometown, which is a community just south of Racine, and we're just obviously a little bit south of Milwaukee to give you some demographics of where we're at. So I applied to the Racine County Sheriff's Office. I was hired. I was put into a Metro Drug Unit. So I worked undercover narcotics for about a year and a half. From there, I went into our jail division for a period of time, then patrol division. Went into our investigative division. I spent about a decade of my career investigating sensitive crimes, white-collar crimes, homicides, a little bit of everything, sort of a whatever came through the door. predominantly on second shift. And then from there into supervision. And ultimately in 2010, our outgoing sheriff pulled me in and said that he would like me to take over for him and run for sheriff. And so it was a crowded field. There was five of us, myself, two other Republicans, Democrat, and actually two Democrats. So it was five of us total in 2010. I ran an aggressive campaign. I talked about public safety, not politics, and I won overwhelmingly. I'm now entering into my fourth term. I'm proud to say I'm unopposed, which is fantastic. I'm excited about that. But here I am, and I found myself with COVID. Let's just talk about COVID for a minute. There was a lot of things that Racine County did in terms of the leadership. Our governor issued a stay-at-home order, basically telling business owners they had to lock their doors and move everybody back at home and to basically stay in your basement. He also issued mask mandates, and there was no directive given to law enforcement how we're supposed to proceed. But I took a stand immediately. I sent out a press release to our community suggesting that there was no way I was going to lock down business owners, and I wasn't going to stop people from moving freely about that. And I wasn't going to have my deputies stop people and ask them where they're going. And nor was I going to tell somebody should be wearing a mask. My philosophy is elderly parents.
All right, what I think we need to do is see if we can get the sheriff on a phone line. He's just breaking up too much.
To stay home if you don't feel comfortable. But for the rest of us.
Wait a minute, Sheriff. Wait a minute. Can you hear me, Sheriff?
News that I wasn't going to listen to the governor. Ultimately, Wisconsin Supreme Court agreed with me and overturned his decision and ruled it unconstitutional.
Oh, good. Okay. You're coming in a lot better now. So maybe we got something fixed. You were a little bit choppy there. But, well, let me be clear here then. You did not enforce. You can hear me? So, okay. So, Sheriff, you can hear me. This is Sheriff Matt. He doesn't appear to hear me.
Yep. Go ahead, Sheriff. You're on the air live. We'll work on it. Go.
Okay. So, Sheriff, let me make this clear. You did not enforce mask mandates. You did not force people to shut down, and you pretty much stood against any of the COVID-19 protocols that were forcing people to go to jail or be cited, or you did not shut down churches and arrest ministers. Is that correct?
That is, I refuse to do those things.
Well, we applaud you for that. Thank you so much. We still believe that the American people should make their own health choices, and whether or not they close their businesses or their churches is up to them and not to, up to the force of government. So,
Very well done, sir. Thank you. And as we talk about the whole COVID-19 restrictions, so we talk about that Safe at Home Order Act our governor issued.
Hey, Sheriff Mack, we're going to get him on a phone line and see if we can improve this. The problem is we're just not able to hear
him. Wait a minute, Sheriff.
So we'll go ahead and do that.
You're too choppy.
In the meantime, Sheriff Matt, we'll talk about this. So what he's basically saying, just so everybody understands, because we're kind of caught up on Sheriff Schmeling and the wonderful work that he's doing, is, look, he did not go along with the mask mandates. He did not go along with shutting down businesses and forcing everyone to just simply destroy their economy, destroy their lives, destroy. He didn't do that. He said, look, there was no guidance. There was no direction for this mandate, and he wasn't going to go along with it in his county. These are the kind of sheriffs we need to stand up, Sheriff Mack.
Yes, and it's something that I've pointed out for a long time. Sheriff Smaley was not part of the CSPOA. He did this because it was the right thing to do, and we love hearing about that. We love hearing that sheriffs stood and did the right thing, and the CSPOA guidelines and seminars notwithstanding. That's great. So, the other thing, do we have Sheriff Schmeling back?
Yes. I'm on my cell phone now. I can still.
All right,
real quick, gentlemen, it appears that the host disconnected, it says here on my screen, for the video piece.
Yeah, don't worry about that. We'll keep you on a phone line. We got you.
You're coming across a lot better.
So go ahead. I just won't be able to summarize really quick what you were saying about COVID, then we'll move into election fraud, sir.
Okay, thank you. I apologize for this connection issue. It's kind of spotty on my end as well. But nonetheless, with the COVID restrictions, there was just a lot of mandates that were being thrown out there, and everybody was running around as if their hair was on fire. And I just refused. My deputies were looking for direction, and I said, we're certainly not shutting doors down. My philosophy was simple. I met with a lot of our business owners, and I said, listen, if you want to open your doors, go ahead. If you want to close them, go ahead. It's a free world. It's a free economy, and I'm not going to stop you. And if people make a decision not to shop at your particular business or patronize your business, then so be it. If they do, they do. They don't, they don't. I didn't want to see anyone get hurt, sick, or end up in the hospital. I understand that. And of course, that was, you know, the messaging out there is that the sheriff didn't care about the welfare of its community, which is just a bunch of hogwash. That was not the case. I wanted people to enjoy their freedoms. But that said, and how it circles into the Wisconsin Elections Commission. So we were going about our lives, and I understood back in March of 2020, some time ago now, but the Wisconsin Elections Commission, otherwise known as the WEC, sent a letter to the governor asking to suspend the special voting deputies. So those are referred to as SVDs, special voting deputies. Basically, what happens is special voting deputies go into places like nursing homes and other places where they can execute the ballot. They didn't want those SVDs going into the nursing homes. I didn't know about this until a lady came forward. Her name is Judy, and Judy said her mom, who was housed at a local nursing home in Mount Pleasant, Racine County, Wisconsin, she found out her mom voted, and her mom had severe diminished mental capacity. So she brought this complaint forward. She had a signed affidavit, sent it to the WEC in Madison, Wisconsin, to the Wisconsin Elections Commission, saying, listen, my mom should not have voted. An SVD should have assisted her, or I'm allowed to assist her, and none of that happened. How did this occur? And they basically punted it to the Racine County District Attorney. Well, the district attorney, as you know, charges people. She doesn't do investigations, so she gave it to my agency. So one of my lieutenants, who happens to also have a law degree, said, hey, Sheriff, you got 2 minutes for this, and we got a complaint. And I absolutely, so he starts telling me about this, and I said, well, look into it. So he started looking into it. We found six more people in that same residential care facility that also voted that shouldn't have. And again, when you talk about the elderly, and please understand, I have elderly grandparents and parents that are getting up there as well in their years. My heart goes out to them. So in no way am I making fun of their situation. But some of these individuals were literally seeing flying objects in their room. They did not recognize their own family members. Their breakfast tray was half eaten. And when you asked them when they ate last, they couldn't tell you what they just ate. There was just severe mental delay. But nonetheless, they still voted. So we started looking and questioning the WEC, part of our investigation. We said, listen, why didn't you send in the SVDs, special voting deputies? And they said, well, we didn't have to. So I'm like, what do you mean you didn't have to? They said, well, when the governor issued his executive order, which we call executive order number 72, basically shutting down Wisconsin, the WEC said, well, we're going to suspend SVDs going into residential care facilities. So I did a lot of subpoenas for documents, emails, and whatnot, and I learned that the Wisconsin Elections Commission actually asked the governor's office, can we suspend the SVDs? And the governor's office said, no, I don't have the power to suspend the SVDs. So the WEC basically just did it anyway. So they went ahead and suspended the SVDs. The Safer at Home order expired back in May of 2020. The WEC extended their directive, issuing no SVDs. And again,
Sheriff,
people were
talking. Let me interrupt here for a second. They created this idea without any authority whatsoever, and they extended it without any authority as well, correct?
Absolutely, they extended it. So, and here's the thing: when you really look back in March, in the spring elections in April, I'm not suggesting that what they did was right. I understood everybody was literally running around like their hair was on fire. And if there was a time where you say, listen, the most vulnerable we all knew were the elderly, especially those in nursing homes. And the stories are out there. You know, I couldn't go see grandma, this kind of thing. And no one got to hold grandpa's hand when he passed. Those are heart-wrenching stories and all the rest. So, I mean, I get that piece of it. But then we started learning to live with this monster in our community called COVID, right? So we started embracing, like we are doing right now, right? We're Zooming and we're using technology. Oddly enough, there are six commissioners. Immediately, those WC members were all able to stay in their home and utilize technology via Zoom to host their meetings. So they knew how to connect with technology. But they refused to do that inside the nursing homes, which I didn't understand that. Why couldn't we dispatch an SVD or train somebody there with technology to execute the vote appropriately and according to the law? And they simply wouldn't do it. And in fact, I have them on record. One of them, his name is Spindell. He's one of the Republicans. There's actually six members of the WC, three Republicans, three Democrats. One of the Republicans, Spindell, even actually stated on air, he said, that he doesn't believe, he said, we're essentially telling people not to follow the law. We're telling people not to follow the law. And then he voted to extend it anyway. It's mind-boggling that they knew what they were doing and they chose not to do it. But they were hanging their hat on a very weak hook. They kept saying, well, it's COVID. We're trying to protect the most vulnerable. And that's why we didn't want SVDs going into these nursing homes. So on that particular site visit that we did a subpoena for documents on who all came into that nursing home in Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin, during that time frame in 2020. There was just under 1,000. It was like 998 people. And naturally, they were doing job searches, people coming in for job interviews. They had the vending machine guy. They even had someone come in and clean the bird cage and clean the fish tank. And they had DoorDash coming in, all these people coming in and out of that facility, but they couldn't dispatch SVDs. So when I talk about the spring election and everyone's running around, once we started bracing technology, by the fall election, the presidential election, we should have had this thing figured out. But they still weren't allowing it in November. They still allowed people to go in and execute the vote. And they just had random staff members. And these staff members, and we're talking about, you know, 18, 19-year-old people in there who are basically mopping the floors. They're allowed to go, and that ballots are just lying around. You can go in there and help you fill them out. And if you couldn't make a decision, they would, one person told us, yeah, they were told to wheel them in front of a television, and let them watch the news for a little bit and then come back and ask if they can make a decision on who to vote for. So one of our victims, family members said, well, if my grandmother could only remember voting for, JFK, would you automatically assume they would want, to vote Democrat? And they said, well, yeah, that would make sense. It was just obnoxious every step of the way.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Schmeling with us. And really, the election statute, ladies and gentlemen, was in fact not just broken, but shattered by the members of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, the WEC. Sheriff Schmeling in seconds as we continue on the Sheriff Mac Show from Brighteon TV.
The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history, and they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
Crave Kicker is the world's cleanest nicotine alternative. Our formula delivers a tasty shot beverage that's light and refreshing. Our natural blend of superfoods and supplements elevates your mood naturally while balancing your central nervous system so you can kick those nicotine cravings instead of feeding them. We spared no expense in delivering the world's cleanest nicotine alternative. It's time to kick those nagging nicotine cravings. Visit CraveKicker.com.
Back show continues, ladies and gentlemen. Riding shotgun on the broadcast today, Sheriff Christopher Schmeling. He's from Wisconsin. He's a sheriff, folks. And look, the election statute was, in fact, not just broken, but shattered by members of the Wisconsin Election Commission, the WEC. So now Sheriff Schmeling is referring these election commissioners for criminal charges, ladies and gentlemen. The good sheriff has stepped up and placed the protection of we the people and the sacredness of the vote and the right for honest and fair elections above politics. It is huge, ladies and gentlemen, what he's doing. And it turns out that not only is he on the TV with us today, he will be at our press conference on July the 12th to provide an update. So you've referred these people for criminal action, Sheriff Schmeling.
I did. It's actually election fraud by statute. All okay. Six members, I asked the Racine County District Attorney to review for felony charges, and she did an extensive review and learned that she lacked the authority and jurisdiction, given the fact that the commissioners all live in different and respective counties within Wisconsin. So it left me with having to make those referrals to all of the respective district attorneys.
Know why that happened. Okay, yeah, that makes sense because I had heard that happened. Go, keep going.
Yeah. So we're in the process of referring those to several of the district attorneys. Some of them, I believe the Dane County district attorney said no. The Milwaukee County DA said no. I mean, these were. It's kind of interesting. All of the liberal district attorneys where these commissioners reside said no, but. So I asked our attorney general to look at this. In fact, that was the first thing I did was send, I knew this had statewide implications. I said, we are foolish to think that this occurred in just one nursing home out of, you know, thousands of these types of care facilities. I don't care what you call them. Any place that has vulnerable adults who are being taken care of by another human, that directive was sent out to every one of them. When I say that directive, I mean that directive not to send in SVDs by the Wisconsin Elections Commission. So I said, Mr. Attorney General, I think this is a statewide concern, and I would like you to launch an immediate investigation. He didn't look at one document, not one single document, and said there was nothing here, and he called what I was doing a political stunt. So he's up for re-election, as you know. He's asking the state for four more years. And we have some very good Republicans that are running, some of which have said that they will charge these commissioners if elected and do the right thing. So I'm excited about that. Eric Tomey is one of the attorney general candidates, and I'm behind him 100%. He's asked for their resignation already. He's asked for the current sitting attorney general to charge them. And of course, it's going nowhere because they're both running against each other. But Eric Tomey says if elected, he is going to charge all six of them.
All right. Now, Senator Ron Johnson to add to the mix. I guess he was formerly the head of the Senate Homeland Security Committee, which oversees elections. He basically said that Sheriff Schmeling's revelations might be only the tip of the iceberg of fraud in the 2020 election in Wisconsin. You want to respond to that, Sheriff Schmeling?
Yeah, absolutely. And as I mentioned, you know, I'm just one sheriff out of 72 sheriffs in the state of Wisconsin, and this occurred at one facility. Now, it's important to understand, and I did a press conference, and I said, you know, I didn't go out looking for this. This random individual came to the WEC, the Wisconsin Elections Commission, with their formal complaint. And then the WEC punted it to us, to the district attorney, who then gave it to me to investigate. So it wasn't something I went out and said, well, hey, listen, I think there was issues. And I think we all suspect and we all know that there was issues with the election, but I didn't go out looking for this. I had enough work to do and enough on my plate. So people were accusing me of, well, I was just out there trying to, you know, drum this business up, if you will, and make a mockery of it. And that's not the case. Everyone who's a law enforcement officer knows that sometimes you start peeling back the onion and you just keep finding more and more rot. And that's what we were doing. So that's why I said, listen, I don't have jurisdiction throughout the rest of the state. So I went to someone who does. The attorney general has at his avail. He has the Wisconsin State Patrol. He's got a Division of Criminal Investigations, otherwise known as DCI. He has hundreds of law enforcement professionals. He actually has a committee, that just are tasked with investigating crimes against the elderly, people that are most vulnerable. And he could have dispatched them, but he chose not to. And it's concerning, but, it's not over with. We're going to keep pushing forward. We're not leaving it alone. And, I'm hoping that in November, we're going to have, a new attorney general. And he'll take office in January and hopefully he'll hold true to his campaign promise. And that is to charge, these Wisconsin elections commissioners. Here's the good news.
Well, I got to ask you, that is great news. And I find this story very compelling.
News. Go ahead with the good news, Sheriff, and then ask him your question.
Well, the good news is this, is that, you know, even though no one has formally charged these individuals, we shined a bright light on it. This made national news. Everyone is now aware of it, and it's really interesting. It doesn't matter what side of the political aisle you're on. You ought to be concerned that this was happening. And some of the people that came forward, I never asked how they voted. I suspect that there were both sides of the fence that they were complaining about. But the Democrats were making it more of a political issue than I was. I was merely suggesting, I'm a law enforcement officer. It is my job to investigate. I don't get to pick and choose which crimes I'm going to investigate and which ones I'm not. And this was a shining example of that. And everybody, regardless of your political party, ought to be concerned that they were going after our most vulnerable and they weren't protecting them by not allowing the SVDs into the nursing homes. And the argument cannot be about COVID. You can't hang your hat on that hook because they had 1,000 other people going in there who had no business being in there, including cleaning out the birdcage and the fish tank. But you can't bring an SVD in? That doesn't make any sense to me. So that doesn't hold any water. So obviously they broke the law. There's felony charges that are hanging out there for them. And I'm hoping a new attorney general is going to charge them once he's elected.
Amen.
Well, yeah, okay, that's great. And I'm really glad, Sheriff, I got to tell you, this is almost listening to somebody tell a story fit to be a movie. I couldn't wait till after the break to get back to your story. This is absolutely amazing. But you brought up there's 72 other sheriffs. Why aren't some of these sheriffs doing the same thing in their counties? What are they waiting for?
Yeah, and many of them are. In fact, we have called a Badger Sheriffs conferences. I went and did a PowerPoint presentation for the Badger Sheriffs to have them take a look at the work that we did in Racine. And because I will tell you, I'm very blessed. I have one of my lieutenants who's also a criminal investigator is a former lawyer and prosecutor. So when you start drilling into election laws, I got to tell you, I'm used to looking at the other side of the statute book, you know, crimes against persons, crimes against property crimes, right, and all the rest. And now you start digging into these election laws. And I'm telling you, they get very confusing very quick. So I wanted to put on this presentation to say, hey, listen, we did all the heavy lifting. If you get one of these complaints, I'll even dispatch my lieutenant to assist you with that investigation, or we can do it over Zoom or whatever. You don't have to go through the task of trying to research the work that we did, because we have hundreds of hours in this case, and we'll help out any sheriff or any police department who requests it.
Sheriff Mack.
Fantastic, Sheriff. Well, one other thing there. Then maybe you said this, and maybe what was part of the garbled part before we got you on the phone here. Who exactly, or do you know this yet, who exactly was the one who forged the vote, who actually wrote the vote on for some of these invalid patients at these care facilities? Do we know exactly who filled out the ballots and mailed them in?
In some cases, we do. There were workers that attended to these individuals, because the SVD, first of all, the only people that can execute the ballot would be the SVD with the assistance of the person who's the voter, or a family member. In absence of a family member can't go in there, right, because of the COVID, and then SVDs weren't dispatched, so that left it to whatever interpretation, whoever worked there, the person who was, tending to their needs, would help them fill out the ballot. And if they pointed to the right box and they'd circle this for them, and okay, that. So when's the last time you voted? Do you remember who you voted for last? And that's the comment came up. Well, if they told you JFK, would you just assume Democrat? And the answer was, well, yeah. And if they couldn't quite understand who they wanted to vote for, they said in some cases they would wheel them up to a television. And again, this is really disheartening. I'm not disparaging anybody who is in that situation, but they would wheel them over to a television and have them watch the news until they can make a decision.
Good grief. So do we know how many ballots it consisted of in what you did?
In our one nursing home, we had one complaint, and then we found additional seven. So we had a total of eight in that particular nursing home. We have others that have called us, and we're actively investigating those as well. And I know from talking to other sheriffs throughout the state, they had received some similar complaints as well, and they're actively investigating as well. But it's rather interesting. We had there was a statewide investigation going on by our former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Gableman. I'm sure you've heard of him. He's been all over the news and has been pointing out not just what was happening in nursing home with our most vulnerable voters, but also just a lot of different types of ballot harvesting and other investigations going on throughout the state. And I just, unfortunately, I do get the feel from community members, even those that believe that there was some wrongdoing going on here, that they're just tired of hearing about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Which is a little disheartening. Yes. It is disheartening, but I am getting that.
But Sheriff Spinning, I'm getting this question, though. Our enemy's favorite statement is this: well, it wouldn't have changed the election anyway. Move on. And my response is this. You know what? I'm not here to debate whether in each voting district or situation or race or whatever you want to say, whether it would have affected the outcome or not. What I know is vote fraud is vote fraud, and if we want to have confidence in our election system going forward, it's got to be fixed, sir.
I completely agree with that statement. I agree with that. And people who broke the law need to be held accountable. Some of the questions are posed to me as well. Why didn't I charge the worker there who assisted? When you talk to these individuals, they said, well, my boss told me to do this. And the WEC basically told the nursing home bosses, supervisors, that we're not dispatching SVDs and left it up to their own devices. So if they're told by their employer that this is how they're supposed to do their job, how are they supposed to know the election laws? How are they supposed to know what an SVD is? How are they supposed to know that there's a commission that sits?
What happens if they refuse is the next question.
If they refuse to follow the direct of their employer?
Yeah,
I imagine they probably would handle it like any other disobedience. I don't know. I didn't ask that, but they were just told to do it. They're going to say, "Hey, mop that floor and go feed Sally her soup," and have right. I mean, seriously, I think they just it's your boss. So and you could say, well, Chris, you should charge these people. Recommend charges on them. And we did look at that. But when you really started looking at, they were merely following a directive by their employer who they believed was doing the right thing, because the WEC, it's a trickle down effect. The WEC told them, you don't have, we're not sending SVDs in, and here's a bunch of ballots, and get it done. And that's what they did. They got it done. And it wasn't, it was against the law. They didn't have the authority to suspend that. They even, what I find really interesting in this whole thing, if there's any takeaways, they knew it was wrong. And that's why they asked the governor's office, can we suspend the SVD when you shut down the state? And the governor says, I lack the authority to do that. If there's any brilliant thing this man has ever done, he actually told them, no, I can't do that. And he was telling them the truth. He lacked the authority to suspend the SVD law. They kept talking about a process. I'm like, what process are you referring to? It's a law. It's not maybe. It's you shall dispatch SVDs. It's not if you feel like it. It's you shall do it. It's no different than any other law out there. And they refer to it as a process, which just drives me nuts.
Now, is the current attorney general, is he a Democrat?
He certainly is.
Yeah, figures. So one other thing, after the show, can you text me the name of that, did you say, former judge who's also into this election fraud there? We'd like to have him come with you.
His last name is Gableman. I can text it to you after the show if you'd like. But
if you have his email or number, please get that to me, and we're going to try to get him there too.
Okay, yeah, I'll certainly do. I'll send
Sheriff
you all his contact info. Yes,
Sheriff
sir.
Smalling, have you seen 2,000 mules?
I'm sorry?
Have you seen 2,000 mules?
I have not.
All right, so we got to make sure that he gets to see that as well, because, again, that isn't the quintessential solution on vote fraud. There's a lot of ways. It's kind of like the number of ways to commit sin in the Bible. It's endless of the vote fraud. Your vote fraud investigation, I'm highlighting this on purpose, is completely independent of 2,000 mules because you haven't seen it and you started before it ever even came out, correct?
I have not seen 2,000 mules. I've heard of it. And it was interesting, even during our press conference, because they were asking me, you know, who am I linked to with this investigation that I was consulting with other individuals? And I must tell you, I didn't. I went out and, you know, this again, as I not be repetitive, but this investigation, this complaint came to us just like any other complaint that my agency receives. And we receive tens of thousands of complaints every year. This was another complaint, and we investigated it and ran it to its logical conclusion. And when I recognized that I believe it had statewide impacts, as you know, I reached out to our state leadership and said, listen, I need some assistance here, Mr. Attorney General. I think this is going on all over the state. And he said, nope, political stunt. I said, well, do you want to read my reports? No, this is a political stunt for you. Oh, it's really disheartening. But it's a political stunt when I'm the sheriff and I investigate a crime. How is that a political stunt? No one could answer that.
No. The political stunt is that he refuses to read your investigation. That's the political stunt.
Yeah, it's almost like put your head in the sand. If I don't know anything about it, I can't do anything about it. And so it's disheartening. Yeah. We're not letting it go. We're continuing to push forward, and I'm encouraging other sheriffs to do the same. And I know other sheriffs in the state are looking at. And I've got a lot of support here with the other sheriffs as well. So we're here obviously for some assistance, as I mentioned, as well for other police departments and sheriffs. We've already put on one presentation. We have a very comprehensive PowerPoint presentation we put together that really drills into the depths of this investigation, because there's a lot here that I sort of glossed over with you folks on the phone today. But this investigation is very detailed, and there's a lot of moving parts. But at the end of the day, make no mistake, the election law was shattered. It was shattered by six members of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And what they chose to do, and people were getting in the weeds, well, what about the guy who helped them execute the ballot? Listen, is that important? Yeah, but are they expected to know the laws when we have six commissioners who are supposed to do their job and follow the law and dispatch those SVDs? Those SVDs would have been in those nursing homes, executed the ballot the way they should have, and this would have been a non-issue. But they knew what they were doing. There's a reason why they didn't want those SVDs in there.
Well, and it reminds me of a drug investigation. Oftentimes the small fries, you might grab them and have them give you intel on the bigger fish. But at some point, you know what? The small fries aren't responsible. It's the head end. It's the intention behind this and who's responsible at what levels that matter. And when you have them literally suspend all this, even though the governor says I have no authority and they do it anyway, the downstream people who get caught in the crossfire may not be the ones that we should be prosecuting. Yes, they need to be put on notice. You can't do that kind of stuff. But really, it's these kingpin people that make the decisions that need to be accountable. Sheriff?
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. And I'm not suggesting giving people a pass by any stretch, but I am suggesting that I spent hundreds of hours looking at this election law during the investigation, and I couldn't expect a fresh college student who found themselves as an assistant nurse at a nursing home being told by their employer to go help Sally fill out this document called a ballot. And they went and did the best they could doing that. I don't think that person should be criminally charged because why? They were following a directive from their boss, and their boss is following a directive from the WEC. They're the ones who broke the law. And now if they knowingly knew what they were doing, that they knew that this shouldn't happen, that's a whole different story. But here's the thing. The attorney general, the governor, everyone was chiming in during this investigation and just saying, listen, folks, we were concerned about the most vulnerable population. And they were tugging on the heartstrings of Wisconsinites and basically making me look like, a political stunt. And they're suggesting that that's why they did what they did. It was all done in good faith, Sheriff. They had no ill intent. You know what? That's a bunch of baloney, because if that was the case, then why did you allow nearly 1,000 other people into that one nursing home during that time frame, including someone to clean out the birdcage? It's amazing to me. Even had DoorDash people come in. But that was okay. SVD is bad, DoorDash good. It made no sense.
Where do you think it's going to go from here, Sheriff Smalley? What do you think is going to be the bottom line? Are we going to get accountability here, or have we lost elections for good?
I think we're going to have accountability. I said this out loud a number of times. If anything good comes of this, look what we're doing today. We're talking about it, aren't we? And I can tell you this was a table conversation for many folks in Wisconsin. People are like, wow, I had no idea that what's an SVD again? My mother, who's 82 years old, she said, what's an SVD? I mean, that's a special voting deputy, and they have to go into the, and she didn't know that either. So it shined a very, very bright light on what was going on. Whether you believe it would have changed anything in the election or whatever, the fact is that
immaterial.
People understand, and now they're more educated about the election laws because we showed them. But that's not to say they should get a pass. I like the light that was being shined on it. I'm really hopeful in November that we're going to get a Republican governor and a Republican attorney general that are going to do some great things. In fact, Rebecca Clayfish is my pick for Wisconsin, and I've had a number of conversations. She's very in favor of what I am doing, and she wants to restore election integrity. She'd love to see it across the country, but more importantly in the state of Wisconsin. We got to start here in the state. And restore the integrity back in the election process.
We're flat out of time, ladies and gentlemen. We need to watch these elections real time. I'll tell you that right now if we want real answers. Sheriff Smalley will be at our press conference to learn more. CSPOA.org/elections. For Sheriff Mack, Sheriff Smalley, I am Sam Bushman. This is the Sheriff Mack Show on Brighteon.tv.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power. Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1, that behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2, Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. The CSPOA making a big difference. Sheriff Mack on with me first hour. We talked about all kinds of things, man. Vote fraud, abortion, pro-life, the right to keep and bear arms, individuals being shut down and abused by the cops. State Supreme Court rejects illegal alien voting. Wow, sudden adult death syndrome. What the heck's going on? People are just dying left and right. I mean, it's just crazy town, folks. And then Sheriff Schmeling refers Wisconsin election commissioners for criminal charges, ladies and gentlemen. The good sheriff has stepped up, and he has placed the protection of we the people and the right for honest, fair, transparent elections above politics. Now they say he's involved in a political stunt. Shame on them. The good sheriff also is calling on Attorney General of Wisconsin, Josh, I think it's Cole, K-A-U-L, maybe it's Call, Josh Call, to conduct a statewide investigation into the illegal, did you hear me? Illegal directives issued by the Wisconsin Election Commission, the WEC. Even Senator Ron Johnson, who formerly headed the Senate Homeland Security Committee, which oversees elections, and he said that the sheriff's mailing revelations might only be the tip of the iceberg of fraud. Did you hear me? The tip of the iceberg of fraud in the 2020 elections in Wisconsin. Folks, this is huge. Now we're going to have a press conference July the 12th, 10 a.m. We literally had an event planned in late October, early September. An incredible CSPOA event. And we got rid of the one in October, November. Or September, October, I'm sorry. We got rid of that. And we moved it up to July the 12th. Because we realized how vital this really is. We're going to have a press conference. We're going to have sitting sheriffs involved investigations with updates. We're going to give you a history of voter fraud. We're going to partner with True the Vote and put together an investigative think tank and support systems for sheriffs across the country. And then we're going to watch 2,000 mules so people are caught up on that. We have got a lot planned, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Because elections matter. Folks, if you lose your election honesty, integrity, you have nothing left. The thugs could just lord over you like nobody's business. There ain't nothing you can do about it. There's two lines that can't be crossed. One is you cannot steal the election. You got to have honesty and accountability. Election integrity is what I want to call it. Okay? Transparency, whatever you want to say, accountability. And it's got to be looked at and focused on real time. After the fact, it's like very hard to prosecute and get anything done. They bury the evidence. They, do all kind of things to make sure we can't really get the information. So after the fact, oftentimes it's too late. It's got to be real-time discussions. A good guy called me from Florida. His name is Tom, and he basically highlighted that reality check, and he's spot on. Anyway, I digress, except to say, look, if we lose elections and we lose our right to keep and bear arms, oh, boy, you ain't seen tyranny like you'll see after that, huh? Thanks for being alongside with the ride. Hard-hitting talk always at your fingertips when Liberty Roundtable Live takes to the airwaves. I am Sam Bushman, thanking Bridie on Radio, Bridie on TV, thanking LovingLiberty.net, the incredible nationally syndicated radio network that makes my broadcast all possible. LovingLiberty.net. Share the love, Spread the word. Live and on-demand radio, free at your fingertips. I declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. But you got to get involved, make it a great day, and choose the right. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.